This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.
Well, good evening. Dr. Gerald Pfeiffer here on this cold Monday evening. And Rob Pratt and I, we were talking about how dark it gets so early.
It does. Very dark.
Before 5 o'clock, sunset. And that's just ridiculous. And it's cold.
It is cold. You got to try to get up at 2 in the morning on Saturday or leave here at 10 o'clock at night. It's really cold.
It is even chilly in the studio. But that's so we don't take a nap.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Tonight we're going to be talking about seasonal affective disorder. And we have two women who are not strangers to Medical Frontiers. They've been here before. And they're both delightful. Dr. Alicia Kaplan. Dr. Kaplan is a psychiatrist, and she takes care of things like OCD and also some depression and anxiety and so on. And I don't know whether you've cured Rob yet of his OCD, but you have a better handle on it now that you've met Dr. Kaplan over the years.
Yeah,
right?
Much better. I was actually straightening my ketchup bottle before I came in here today. No, I'm good.
Okay, and we also have Dr. Grace Gedgaud. Did I do it right?
You did it great.
Okay, but I'll probably call you Dr. Grace.
As most people do.
But she's a clinical psychologist, and she has a PhD in psychiatry, so she has a doctorate, so we call her doctor. And she works very closely with a psychiatrist, and it's good having you back on Medical Frontiers, both of you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
All right. Seasonal affective disorder. And we talked a little bit about the change in time, daylight, standard time, and so on, and how unnecessary that is, and so on. But just tell us in a few sentences, what is seasonal affective disorder?
Right. Well, people have different vulnerabilities to the changes in the light. And
you're talking about sun and daylight and nighttime, right?
That's right. Okay. That's right. But some patients that get depressed, they feel it particularly during the seasonal changes, such as in the fall, where because of that change in the light and the shorter days, they feel more sluggish, sad, trouble with energy, and their appetite, that when it's truly a seasonal depression, it comes on in the fall and winter, and then it gets better in the spring or summer. Most people have what we call the winter depression. There are some patients that have seasonal affective disorder, but it's in the summer where it's the problem, but that's not as common.
Okay, I visited Alaska one time, and I think we went there, it was late July or early August. It was actually the day that JFK Jr. was killed in the airplane crash. And at that time, they had long, long periods of light. So what happens where you have 24 hours of darkness or 24 hours of light? Has anybody done any studies? Is it different whenever you have those big times of complete darkness and complete light? It's bad enough where we live, right, with the changes and so on, but how about that whenever they have such long periods. And the flowers in Alaska are amazing because they have a very short growing season, but it's long each day. And so flowers, you know, grow very, very rapidly and are beautiful.
Well,
your thoughts.
Well, I have a cognitive behavioral therapist next to me who works with insomnia patients, but I think it's tough to have the light going on that long and not being able to sleep. Right.
Well, Dr. Grace, and the same thing when people are working all night and have to sleep during the day, if they're doing, you know, complete night shifts. Dr. Grace.
Yeah.
Your comments.
It can make a big difference on somebody's mood, on their energy. We all have a circadian clock internally that's about 24 hours long that is really impacted by light. And so when we don't kind of have this natural 12-hour rhythm of light and darkness, it can have a huge impact. Now, that's just for an average person, just like height. We have very tall people. We have very short people. Different circadian preferences or biases exist in the population. But that 24 hours of light, 24 hours of darkness is absolutely going to have an impact.
So what do we do? For seasonal affective disorder, I know that there are light sources. People can use light and so on. But how effective is that to have more light during your day?
Well, yes. So the people that really respond to the bright light therapy, they say that it can work for like 2/3 of patients. It can be often faster than the response of an antidepressant. So the people that really respond to the bright light therapy, it can work within a few days. But we also use, besides discussions about if bright light therapy is appropriate, also sometimes my patients that I see every year that go through this, sometimes, for example, I'll increase their antidepressant in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And then we cut it down in the spring. Or sometimes I'll add it only in the wintertime, for example. In addition to that, psychotherapy can be very helpful in helping with motivation and scheduling activities to get out of the house, planning okay. appropriately.
Okay. And Dr. Grace, before we went on the air, we were talking a little bit about the time change, you know, from daylight savings to standard time and vice versa, you know, spring and the fall. And that 1 hour can have a tremendous effect on people. Isn't that correct?
It's true. And it's not just the hour time change when it happens. For a lot of people, I hear it's a reminder of the winter to come and mm-hmm. the longer periods of darkness and shifts in mood and energy. So it's not just the immediate impact of that hour change, but it's like a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's easier in the spring because we're springing ahead, mm-hmm. you know, and, the flowers are starting to bloom and the trees are getting their leaves and so on. So it's a happier time. Mm-hmm. And we're in the fall, like we just said, everything's going to bed. You know? So, you know, we don't have enough light to, you know, be bright and happy, you know. So, you know, it's amazing. Well, Rob and I were talking about there are certain segment of our population that don't feel real happy during the holidays because they may not have any family, they don't have many friends. And I was saying that, you know, it's up to us who are happy and have friends and so on to help those people. So is that true that the holidays sometimes bring on anxiety and depression just for those reasons?
That's right. Yeah, I think like all the things you said are right, and people have different memories about the holidays, or sometimes the people that are no longer with them to celebrate the holidays.
Especially if they have passed on a holiday or near a holiday, then it all comes back.
You know? And some people put such pressure on themselves to get everything perfect for the holidays, and they get overwhelmed too and worry. So it can have different kind of meanings for different people besides the happiness of the holiday.
they want to decorate the house just so and so on. And a lot of that is traditional and so on. They want to keep doing because they feel better if they, you know, keep the traditions. Okay, we need to take a break. This is Medical Frontiers, and we're talking about a seasonal affective disorder this evening. And if you have questions, if you've suffered from that, and if you've used the bright light therapy or antidepressants or whatever, we'd love to hear your story. What works for you? So Medical Frontiers, we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Okay, we're back on Medical Frontiers. We're talking about seasonal affective disorder this evening. So if you have that particular malady, give us a call, 866-391-1020. We're talking about the seasons and being depressed and so on and that type of thing. And one of the other things is that, you know, especially for the women who are preparing all the food for the holidays and so on, and I timed a Thanksgiving dinner. It was 22 and a half minutes. Everything was devoured. It takes days, but, you know, ready for dessert in 22 minutes. I mean, it's just incredible the pressure that we put on ourselves, you know, and then it's done. It's not a good way to live, is it, Dr. Kaplan?
Well, I think for the cook, though, they know how, especially when it tastes really good, that when it's devoured, right, they get that positive feedback, right?
Yeah, it all works out. It all works out.
Hopefully, they're getting help with the dishes.
What about the demands that sometimes our children put on us? Boy, they want a certain thing for Christmas or some other holiday or something like that. And they're so disappointed, but if they don't get it and so on, do we tend to spoil our children a little bit too much, or how do you work that out in a family?
Oh man, that's above my pay grade, professionally and personally. Oh my goodness, Dr. Kaplan, any thoughts?
Ask that again.
Okay, you have a child, say a 5 or 6 year old, and they ask for a particular gift, and Santa didn't bring that gift. They are disappointed, and they're having a hard time. Any thoughts?
Well, I think that expectations can be a lot, right? Mm-hmm. In comparisons with others. But I think that as long as we're honest and open with each other, I think even children, you know, young children can understand why maybe this year they can't get that gift, but another year that might be an option, especially there's something we can all do together to get that gift. Or also talking about other people's experiences that, you know, they're in the same position where we might like it, it's shiny and new, but it's just not a possibility.
I've known of families where they were well enough to do, you buy their kids anything and so on, and they wanted to teach their children a lesson about gifting and so on. So they said, they made lists, what they wanted and so on. Okay, you've asked for 10 things. Pick 3 out. Okay. There's other things we're going to get, but we want you to pick out a friend who may not be as lucky as you.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't we give that gift to the friend? That was a precious lesson, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I know that we say, it, you know, you feel better about giving than you do receiving. And that really is true, that if you can see the smile on the face of somebody who wasn't expecting a gift, and you give it to them, and they know that it's theirs, and they know why they got that gift, because you cared about them, makes a big difference, you know. And, you know, most of us have so much that we should be thankful for. We're very blessed to have.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A roof on our head and, you know, clothing to wear and lights so we don't have to be dark all the time and so on. But, and Rob was talking about this during, when I was in for a tease and about a bar that was open on Christmas Eve, way into the morning, you know, and everyone who was in the bar, they didn't have family. They didn't have anywhere to go. And yet the owners of the bar kept it open, made sure that they were able to have something to eat and so on and all. And that is really what the season is all about, you know, making sure that everybody has something, you know, if it just means a roof over their head.
That's right.
Warm for the night, you know. So, and we just need to do more of that. Do you, one of the things that seems to be happening in our society, that there is more, a higher incidence of mental problems. Is that true, Dr. Grace, where we see more people not being able to cope?
There is documentation of increased frequency of broadly like mental health diagnoses across the board. Now, the reason for that is complicated. Some of it is the knowledge of what these labels are and more acknowledgement of mental health. So is it that we're seeing more of these things, or are we just able to identify them more frequently and more accurately? But I think that there are factors in present day that influence mental health. So certainly we see, especially in young people and in older people, the influence of social media, both connecting but also leading to impacts with self-esteem and negative comparisons and social anxiety. Certainly, we talk about it pretty much every time we come on here, but the impact of COVID-19 and we do a lot of work with anxiety and OCD, and these areas absolutely got pushed on with messaging about danger and needing to stay home and risk, messages of risk really reinforced some of these fearful thoughts and fearful behaviors that we're seeing more of and still seeing the impact of years later.
What about the impact? I don't know whether we have any long-term mental institutions, hospitals and so on for long-time stays for mental disorders and so on. I'm sure that we try to use outpatient therapy. I know that it's sometimes very difficult to admit somebody who has a severe mental disorder, to admit them to the hospital for even short-term care. Isn't that right, Dr. Kaplan?
Right. In order to go into the hospital for mental health problems, there's certain criteria that have to be met.
Yeah.
But that's different than long-term trouble with social determinants of health, for example.
Okay, we need to take a break. This is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about seasonal affective disorders and anything else that you'd like to talk about on Medical Frontiers tonight. 866-391-1020. We'll be back after the break.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network.
Well, we're back on Medical Frontiers. We're talking about seasonal affective disorders and other things that can make us sad and and depressed and a little anxious over the holidays and so on. So if you have questions about any of these topics, give us a call at 866-391-1020. If you have been put on some medications or you've had some psychotherapy with counseling and so on, we'd love to hear your story. 866-391-1020. I think we discussed this the last time you women were on. I work with our first-year residents, orthopedic residents, in the Pediatric Institute in Wexford. And so we're seeing pediatric patients with orthopedic problems, musculoskeletal problems, and in taking the histories and so on. And we actually worked with a clinical psychologist, Rebecca, who is now with Becky is with Duquesne. Don't
oh,
you?
Wow.
You remember? You know her? Yeah, Becky. I think she's working in psychiatry and neuroscience department at the new medical school. But anyway, 25% of our patients are on antidepressants in a pediatric population. Does that seem high to you, Dr. Kaplan?
Well, it does seem kind of high. But in certain patient subgroups in medicine, it is pretty common. For example, like in gastroenterology.
Oh, okay. Because of irritable bowel syndrome and those types of things and so on. When you have those chronic medical diseases, you know, like Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, diabetes, that type of thing certainly can be up sort of a problem with the whole family. It has an effect on the whole family, so-called collateral damage of chronic diseases and so on, but also with the patient themselves.
That's right.
Because they're not, they don't consider themselves normal, not like all their classmates.
Well, I think with, for example, my experience with the gastroenterology department, specifically when I was working at the functional bowel clinic, there was a lot of overlap between stress and the GI tract, and with worsening quality of life and functioning from chronic gastrointestinal problems, that it's hard to know what comes first, the anxiety, depression causing, like having an impact on the symptoms, or the other way around, the stress from the chronic medical problems and quality of life changes causing the depression, anxiety. Nevertheless, we treat the whole person, and sometimes some of the antidepressants not only can help with the anxiety and depression, but they can also help with the GI tract and with chronic pain. Some antidepressants are better than others to actually work on pain signals in the brain, mm-hmm. which is very interesting.
Yeah. And we were taught in school that you can't separate the mind from the body, because the mind can certainly have an effect on body function and complaints, symptoms, that type of thing. And then the body can certainly have an effect on the brain because, well, we can't do, say, what we used to be able to do. Or, God forbid, there is an accident where you're paralyzed, you know, a paraplegic or a quadriplegic or something like that. Or a chronic disease, like we talked about, you know, diabetes, GI chronic disease. There's no cure for diabetes, except if you're overweight. Sometimes if you lose weight, one way or another, the diabetes goes away. But for a lot of diseases, there is no cure. And it certainly has an effect on our mind and our bodies, for sure.
That's right. And from the work I've done with the Autoimmunity Institute, for example, some of the rheumatological disorders, whether like lupus or Sjogren's, or versus some of the GI conditions, like you said, like inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, patients can often tell when they're going into a flare. And that's when sometimes they feel, you know, worse, obviously, and it interferes with their functioning, pain, energy, all those things can really affect their job, whether they can get out of their house, their responsibilities that they can't do. So often we see like an anticipatory anxiety before it comes on, and then worsening mood during it. So within those chronic diseases, we can see flares that can really affect their mental health.
Dr. Grace, people who worry.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was a worrier. She's deceased now. She lived till she's about 92 years old, but she worried about everything. Mm-hmm. Worried about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was visiting, and I said, "What's wrong?" She just seemed to be, you know, a little bit antsy and so on. I said, "Are you worried about something?" She said, "Yeah, I am." I said, "What's that?" She said, "I'm worried because I don't have anything to worry about." That's the epitome, you know. When you don't have anything to worry about and you worry about that, that has to be a real, real worry wart.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle that?
Yeah, that's a common feeling that people have, whether they're just coming to therapy for the first time or learning how to handle their worries in a more effective way. There's worry about the worry. What does it mean that I'm not worrying right now? So one of the ways to handle this is to explore and to challenge some of the unhelpful ideas that people have about how worry helps them. Some people think if I worry enough, I can get ahead of a problem that's going to happen in the future. Because I worry so much, I'm a good parent, I'm a good spouse, I'm going to be able to anticipate things or solve problems more effectively. And helping people understand what some of those assumptions are about their worry and challenging that mindset and then also the behaviors that come after it can help people start to step aside from how they understand their worry and how they engage with it.
So it's a whole, you just have to turn around, because worry doesn't really change anything in the future. It can have an effect on you presently because you're so worried, but it's not going to change anything.
No, and so a common phrase we come back to is don't suffer twice. So when we worry, we suffer in the present because we're currently worried. And then if the thing we're worried about comes to pass, we're going to suffer that second time. So we try to invite people not to suffer twice.
And that comes into play in medicine, too, and in prevention of things. A woman not getting a mammogram because she's worried she might have cancer. And, patients of mine have talked to me about that. They're worried about getting an X-ray or getting an imaging study because they're afraid that it might show cancer. But I say, wouldn't it be wonderful if the imaging study was negative, and then you can be happy and you can stop worrying that it might be, you know. So it affects every phase of our life, you know, those types of things. Well, we need to take another break. This is Medical Frontiers, and we're talking about seasonal affective disorder, but also other reasons for depression and anxiety. And give us a call at 866-391-1020. We have two experts in the studio. Let's hear what they have to say when you have a question. 866-391-1020.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Be back. Well, we're back for our last segment of Medical Frontiers for this evening, and we're talking about seasonal affective disorder, and we haven't had any phone calls yet. Our monitor is just bare. We need some phone calls, and tell us if you have seasonal affective disorder and how you have handled it. But we're going to go on whether we have any phone calls or anything. How about Dr. Grace? I know you do a lot of psychometric testing and so on with patients and all to help with diagnoses and all that kind of thing. Anything new coming along in your field as a clinical psychologist?
Oh my goodness. I think that there is always a challenge of fine-tuning the tools that we have. I know that there is on the medicine side of things, there's some GeneSight testing and ways of using biology to help fine-tune intervention for some people. I'm not aware of any imaging or related tools for diagnosing mental health disorders, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see some.
Are you seeing any type of an uptick in things like anxiety, depression, OCD, and so on, or are there areas of mental disorders that are sort of creeping higher than others and so on?
Yeah, I think anxiety disorders and depression tend to be pretty neck and neck for most commonly diagnosed disorders in our diagnostic system. And the other area that you hear a lot about in terms of diagnostic rates recently, and this is outside of my area of expertise, is autism spectrum disorder. Rates of diagnosis have been increasing quite a bit in the last several years. And so there's a question in the field of, again, is it identification or is there something else happening that's relating this mm-hmm. increase?
Yeah, just maybe for years we missed
exactly.
cases of autism. And
exactly.
when you're talking about a large population, you know, mm-hmm. then more people may or may not
exactly.
come through. From a psychiatric medical standpoint, Dr. Kaplan, any new medications that have been discovered or developed or in the pipeline to help with things like depression and anxiety and those types of things?
I think I would say really in the last 5 years, for example, the focus I think has been more so, I mean, I've referred a little bit for some of the ketamine mm-hmm. treatment, but I don't have experience being a provider for that. However, Dr. Gidgout and I had experience where I've referred several patients for transcranial magnetic stimulation for obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm-hmm. And Grace and I have worked together with specific patients. Sometimes they've been patients of ours versus referrals where we... What's very interesting about, and I know Dr. Foreman's been on the show.
Yes.
But specifically for obsessive compulsive disorder, it's a unique situation where patients, when they have the treatment, before the treatment, they actually have to be triggered a little bit, which we call a symptom provocation. So we don't want the patient to not have any obsessional activity going on or any, we need a little bit there because that's how the treatment works the best with the coils and the magnetic field. So we've worked together. Dr. Grace has helped with what we call a behavioral hierarchy. And we've also timed the medications, for example. So Grace, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah. So, the treatment involves a stimulation to the brain that's non-invasive. But before that happens, for people who meet criteria for OCD, in order to activate the symptom, you kind of have to like poke the bear a little bit. Like, are you sure you didn't wash your hands thoroughly enough before you came in here today? Tell me about a time where you may have picked up an illness from something that you touched, something to activate the anxieties and doubt that comes with OCD.
So those areas of the brain
exactly.
would then be affected by the treatment, the magnetic.
Yeah.
So is this also used for people who used to respond to ECT, electroconvulsive therapy? Is that?
Yes. Yeah, so there's different coils that are used. Where we work, we have the deep TMS. So a different coil is used for OCD than what's used for depression, for example. But for depression, for patients that have TMS for depression, it is similar in some ways to the ECT, but it's kind of, the way I think of it is a step before sometimes having ECT or if patients can't tolerate those side effects. Because electroconvulsive therapy, while it is the gold standard mainstay of deep depression, it has more side effects.
Sometimes. Okay, do you know what? We're running out of time, you know. Thank you so much for both of you. You always explain things very, very well for our listeners, and we appreciate that. So this is it for Medical Frontiers. We will be back next week. Have a great week.
Medical Frontiers was an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers was intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.